Okay, where did we leave off yesterday? So we're in the middle of discussing Shiva Nikiyim already. How many bedikos during Shiva Nikiyim? How many bedikos in Chachila? How many bedikos b'diavad? So we got through how many bedikos b'diavad, right? The whole machlokas haposkim. If she misses the day, if she misses day seven, what to do? Yeah, we got through all of that, right? So now, continuing in the halachos of Shiva Nikiyim, so the Beis Yosef quotes from a rokeach that Yom Shepolsekes Tibdok Atzma La'erev, the day that she does that she stops bleeding, she should do a hefsek tara, and v'tilbash chaluk lavan, and then she should wear a white robe. She imtira od she nikra bechaluka. So if she sees any more dam, you'll be able to easily find it on her robe. Ubelaila tasim sadinim lavanim, and at night she should bimitasa, and at night she should put white sheets on her bed. O nikiyim miksam. Or clean of any kesem. That's how it says in the Beis Yosef B'Shem Nerokeach. So Shulchan Aruch Yosef Gimel pretty much quotes this word for word, right? It's just so interesting how he quotes it, right? Yom Shepesek Mitzvah B'Lech Sazma Ka'amur Tilavish Chalak Habadukla She'im Bal Kesem U'Belayla Tasim Sadinim Abdukim Miksamim U'Miyomachras Taschilis Par Hashem Nekiyim. So it's interesting. He quotes it not exactly word for word. What he says is, Ubalaila, whereas the Rokeach said, Ubalaila tasim sadinim levanim bimitasa. Oh, nikiyim miksamim. Sounds like you have two options. Either white sheets or clean sheets. One or the other. The Shulchan Aruch says, Ubalaila tasim sadinim abdukim miksamim. Put on sheets that don't have any stains on them. And even the chaluk, he says, chaluk habaduk la shein bo kesem. He doesn't say anything about white. He says, chaluk that doesn't have any kesem. And he leaves out the word white. The Rama adds, "Umina kasheru kasheisha posakas petara sheitirchatz v'laveshes levanim." That it's a mina kasher that she should wash out and then put on the white. So what's the Rama adding over there? So we said that the mina kasher the Rama was adding, based on what we saw in Beis Yosef, the Rama was adding the mina kasher to wash, right, to bathe herself out. But he's also adding the detail that it's lavan, that what the shirt that she's wearing, or the robe that she's wearing, and the sheets that she's putting on her lavan, which while the Beis Yosef mentioned it, the Shulchan Aruch did not mention it. The Bir Agra in Sivkat Nyud says that, no, he said the Bir Agra, if you look in Sivkat Nyud, Bir Agra, yeah, Ubiyom Uminag, Vizeu Shekasuv Beperakam et Shabbos, Bimei Libunecha. Remember the major sugya about harchakos, right? When the woman says that, why did my husband die? B'chatzi yamav. Oh, b'yimei mizasecha ma'u etzlecha. B'yimei libu necha ma'u etzlecha. What do you mean libu necha? I mean, it meant after she finished actually actively bleeding while she was counting Shiva Nikiyim. So says the Gra, why is it called b'yimei libu necha? Because of what the Rama says over there, she should wear lavan. So it's called b'yimei, the whole, it's a Medina de Gemara. It's not just a minute kosher that the Rama is adding. It's Medina de Gemara that these are days of wearing lavan. It's just somewhat curious that the Shulchan Aruch left it out. Shulchan Aruch just says that it should be chaluk that it should be clean from any ksamim, that it should be baduk shein bo kesem, sadinim that are bedukim miksamim. So I guess the question becomes, you know, if you look at the Beis Yosef, it makes it sound either or, that it can either be white or just something that's clean. So the question is it that it's either or is it and? Meaning it has to be white and clear of ksav. And really the question boils down to is what's the goal over here? I mean, what's the goal of making sure that she's wearing white or that she's wearing whatever it is that she's wearing or whatever the sheets are made of? What is the goal that should there be a kesem, it should have the ability to become tameh? It should have the ability to be metameh? And that's what part of the svira of Shiva Nikiyim is. Is to make sure the way we're mekayim at least on the Rabbanan level is to make sure that if there were a kesem we would be metameh, or is no, you just have to be aware of what's going on, and the easiest way to see what's going on is to be wearing clean things. So wearing white, everything will show up, and if you're wearing something that's not white, where maybe not everything will be so obvious, at least make sure that it's perfectly clean so that if there's anything there you'll be able to see it. Because part of the din of Svira is that you should be aware, self-aware, but lav dafka that it has to become tameh. Meaning if it's a colored garment and the kesem comes out of a colored garment, she's going to be tar anyway. And she'll be able to continue with the Shiva Nikiyim. You just have to be aware, you just have to know what's going on. So what would be nafkamina? So nafkamina would be, can she wear clean gray underwear? What else? Right, can she wear something on the kapatuma? Right, can she put a pad? Could you put a pad in? Pad is not a kabbal tumma, so it's not going to be matami or mishum kesem, but it is white. Pads are white, so maybe it fulfills the din of wearing white. Or could she just stick some tissues in her underwear, let's say. So if she ever has any stains, so it's on white, the tissues are white, so she was wearing white, but at the same time, you know, it's not any kesem is going to be fine. It's not going to be makabel tumma. That's really what that question boils down to. And it's not abundantly clear in Shulchan Aruch one way or the other. We're sometimes making on this whole inyan of if there's a major need or maka or something like that that's causing a problem that we're pretty confident is not damnita. So sometimes we'll be making to wear tzivonim, to wear colors.
So what would be the point of wearing white if it wasn't the time?
What?
What would be the point of wearing white if it wasn't Metameh? Just to be Mekayim Yemei
Libuna? Yeah, meaning maybe this din of Yemei Libuna is just to be aware of what's going on with her body, and she's most aware when she could see whatever comes out.
What's the point of being aware?
Good question. Right? So maybe that's how you do Svira. Svira is absolute awareness of everything that's coming out of your body. And if it's a flow, she'll be aware of that. But if it's short of a flow, if it's just a kesed, then it's not going to cause her any problem.
Unlike in your experience with chasanim, is there a trend of like having trouble with shiva nikiyim at the beginning, or
usually not. Most people don't. I mean, trouble just in terms of knowing what's a shaila and adjusting to it, but that's understood. I mean, that's like so you get a lot of shailas at the beginning, but that's of course, right? Meaning, but I don't find that it's extra trouble. Sometimes you have basulim issues, but not so much. I don't find it so much. So what about our sheets nowadays? Meaning the Shulchan Aruch says that she should wear a robe that's white or that's clean. Let's use the word white since we're going to go with the Vilna Gaon that Yimei Benecha means that she should be wearing lavan. So she's wearing a white robe and she has white sheets. So Bismanenu, a white robe and white sheets, is that critical? So Rav Vosner writes in Shevet Alevi, Ulediton, Shanashim Holchus Tamid, Im Beget Tachton Hatzamut Duguf. Nowadays, women wear tight underwear, so wherever the stain is coming, it's coming on the underwear. It's not going to hit her nightgown. It's not going to go on her sheets. Shame you, Levana, with Padukim and Nukim, Umidina, Kivan Shalom, Shoso, some Gambalaila, Yotim, Zeikara Takada, Shalavanim. He says there's no reason for her to have white sheets, really, Meikaradin, if she's wearing white underwear. They were assuming before the cotton gin was invented, when people didn't have cotton underwear, they didn't have tight underwear that they were wearing, so they were assuming, where is it going to be found? It's going to be found on the sheets. But now that people wear absorbent white underwear, so there's no need for the sheets. Varak bismanam Shayashnu Balobagadim, they used to sleep naked. Haya Habirur al Adam Besadin. So the way to see the blood was by looking at the sheets. Sadim But then he says, Minik Yisrael should have white sheets, so you should have white sheets anyway. But Meikradim, it doesn't really make any sense to have white sheets. Chachmas Adam has a chumra that the blankets and the pillows should also be white. That really seems excessive. Meaning she would have to be like a very wild sleeper to be choshesh that the pillows are going to have to be white as well, and that doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch either. I mean, it sounds like the sheets that are underneath her, that's what has to be white. So I think someone told me in Lakewood they're very makbid about this, that the chasanim teachers in Lakewood are makbid during Shiva Nikiyim that they should have white sheets. I think in our world, married guys, you took chasanim classes, how many of your chasanim teachers said you have to have white sheets? Anyone? The chasanim teachers say white sheets. So yeah, your chasanim teachers say white sheets. So in certain circles there are makbidas, I guess in Chabad and in Lakewood, which is nice to be able to say, that there's white sheets or Shiva Nikiyim. I think our poskim generally are not makbid about white sheets or Shiva Nikiyim, but the exact svara that Rav Vosner says, even though Rav Vosner stops short of saying and therefore forget about it, but nevertheless, I think that seems to be the minimum. Now, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch says it should be baduk, like we said, it makes it sound like the cleanliness of the bed is important, is at least as important as it being white. Women should be careful, therefore, not to wear a beged that has an old stain. Sometimes a woman might take out a white pair of underwear and say, I gotta wear white, but it's gonna be, it'll have a stain that didn't come out in the wash or something. So that's the real din that you got to be super careful about is that it's got to be batuk, that it shouldn't have any stains on it. So if it has an old stain on it, put it through the wash again or do something with bleach. I don't know what you got to do to get it clean, but make sure she's not wearing a piece of clothing, of underwear that has an old stain on it. So that's something to be aware of. The Darkei Moshe in Or Chaim, in Tav Kuf Nun Aleph Ozvav, even goes so far as to say in the name of Rav Avrami Prag that a woman could wash her clothing during Shavuot Shechal Bo Tishbav in order to have clean clothing. Now that's a greater chiddush than to say that for the Rechitzas Haguf in advance of the Hafsatara that she's allowed to do during Shavuot Shechal Bo or even on Tishbav. Why is that a greater chiddush? Because over there Rechitzas Aser is Rechitzas Shel Tanuk, but the issur of laundering clothing during Shavuot Shechal Bo is not because it's a Tanuk. No one enjoys doing the laundry. What's the issur? It's a Heschadas from the Avelus. So it's going to be the same Heschadas regardless of what your motivation is in doing the laundry. Whether you're doing the laundry because you're planning a trip after the 9 days, or whether you're doing the laundry because of a halachic reason. But apparently, Darkei Moshe thinks that it's enough of a tzorech that it overrides the Shavuot Shechal Bo, the issur of Heschadas from the Avelus and Shavuot Shechal Bo Tishbav. So it came to my attention a few years ago, this is probably going back like 10 years ago, maybe a little less, 7, 8 years ago, someone said to me that there are a lot of poskim in Eretz Yisrael that tell women during Shiva Nikiyim to just put in a white pad. And that way they're makayim yimei libuna. The din is yimei libuna. And it's clean, so it's baduk from any kesamim, so it fulfills everything it says in Shulchan Aruch. Why are they advising this? Because in case she stains, no problem, it's on the pad. The pad is eino makabel tuma, and therefore it's fine. So you see where they get that from, right? I mean, you see how you could defend such a shita, because all the Shulchan Aruch says is that she should wear chalak habaduk la shein bo kesem, beduka miksamim. That's all it says. And even in the Beis Yosef, where the Beis Yosef quoted that rokeach, he said either or, either white or it sounded like colors without any stains. So it sounds like even though it's something that's not going to be mekabel kesem, it's not going to be tamim shum kesem, that it's still going to be permissible for her to wear. Meaning, it can't be that the whole din of Zayin Hakim is totally on the ability to, I shouldn't say can't be, but the argument would go that it's not likely that the din of Shiva Nikim is totally on the ability to be mitamim shum kesem. Because mitamim shum kesem is only din to Rabbanon. On the Daraisa level, she's not a Nida. Shiva Nikim is a requirement midaraisa. So the sphere of Shiva Nikim can't be about being able to make sure that if there's a kesem, we have to be able to do mitame that kesem. No, maybe you're not going to be able to do mitame mishum kesem. Shiva Nikim is about this hyper awareness. That's what it is. Total awareness of what's going on with her body. And that awareness sometimes could lead you to take a look at some dam and say, tahar anyway. But at least she's aware that it was there. So what would you not be allowed to do? Black underwear you wouldn't be allowed to do, where you can't even see what's going on. You can't even see if it was a discharge, if it was dam, if it was anything. So you know how we have that discussion. Well, didn't we? Right, we had that discussion when we were discussing kesamim, kesam on a beged savua, right? So we said anything that's not white is a beged savua. Anything, how are we mad there? Anything that a man wouldn't call white, right, is a beged savua. That's the gather that the poskim say. Right, a woman would look at these walls and say, oh, it's ivory. It's the makeup words that you never even heard of before that apparently are colors, right? But a man would look at the wall and say, it's a pretty yeshivish shirt. You know, like it would be like a weekend. You know, but it's a white shirt. You know, like that's how we're magdir white. But we discussed the difference between like a light gray versus black, and we say, oh, la halacha, there's no difference. La halacha, it's not mekabel kesem. But over here, it would make a difference. Meaning, it could be that if you say that you don't really need white, which again is against the Gra, is against the Rama, but if you were to say that you don't really need white, you could argue that you certainly can't have black. Right, you certainly can't have something that you would not be able to identify what was going on. So Rabbi Abadi has a tshuva. I don't remember. I didn't write in my notes where that he thought it's the best of both worlds. It's a great idea. Put in a pad, and you'll never have a kesem problem. It's not going to be a problem. I remember when this happened. I asked Rav Asher Weiss what he thought, and Rav Asher said, I'm glad that they've accepted my psak, that pads are not makabel tuma. So I'm glad that the world has accepted my psak about that. But that is not correct. That's not the right thing to do. I mean, he thought that, no, part of the Shiva Nikiyim is the idea of wearing white as opposed to color is so that you'll have the potential for Tumas Ksamim. I mean, that's how we do it nowadays. Midrabanan is to make sure that there's absolute purity in the sense that if there were a Kesem, it would be Metame and would halt the Shiva Nikiyim and make you restart. It should be noted, because this I've seen this mistake happen unnecessarily. Sometimes women, if they're running low on underwear and they're not in the mood to do the laundry, and they have white underwear in the drawer, they're not really expecting to see Dom now anyway. So they'll just grab a pair of white underwear, but I'm assuming that nothing's going to happen, like a pregnant woman. So she's like, what do I have to lose? Nothing's going to happen. And then something happens. Right, so it should be noted that it's really, really kedai for people, if you could afford it, to buy more underwear than you actually need, and that way you're never going to have to, both whites and non-whites, so that way you're never going to have to come to that, because that is something that happens more than it should. Okay, so that's.
So lefi Rav Asher Weiss, if a woman is, according to him, mistakenly wearing a pad and there's a kesem on it, he would say that's not soter the Shiva Nikiyim?
Right. Look, if it's only a kesem, if it soaks the whole pad, then it's a re'iyah, then of course it's going to be soter the Shiva Nikiyim.
It's a flow.
Yeah, then it's a flow. But if it's just I think everyone would say that. Meaning, we do follow the kulas of kesem during Shiva Nikiyim. A woman, meisim b'chol yom, where you get a beged during Shiva Nikiyim that has a red stain on it, that's pachas mikugris, and we're making on that all the time, right? That's every pachas mikugris shaila is really that. Meaning, we never really have pachas mikugris shaila other than during Shiva Nikiyim on a white cloth, because during the rest of the month, the woman's wearing tzavonin. So and bedikah cloths, you don't have pachas mikugris. You don't have that to pachas mikugris. So every shaila is like that. So we rely on the kulas of ksam. We'll have to talk about tliya, that ramah, about relying on a tliya during the first 3 days. But pachas mikugris we do rely on during the first 3 days. Remember, we had that whole discussion whether pachas mikugris is a din in tliya or it's a separate din that would just never go there on a kesem that's pachas mikugris. I think we had like Rabbi Savlovsky had like 4 or 5 nafkaminas, and we're making on all of them in both directions somehow, right? We're making on everything. So far, Shiva Nikiyim, what does it require? So far we discussed it requires bedikos, and it requires wearing white, or wearing clean clothing, but we're going to assume white. We're going to assume, like the Gemara says, Mei Libuna is so called because she has to wear white. That's Medina de Gemara. So third thing that one requires during Shiva Nikiyim is a Svira. Question is, what does that mean, to do a Svira? I mean, that's really what it says in the Torah, that the Safra, that she has a mitzvah Svira, mitzvah to count. So Tosfos and Maseches Menachos, Daf Samachem Beis, and Maseches Ksubis, Daf Ayin Beis Amid Aleph, is bothered. Why is it that by Svira Sa'omer we recite a bracha before doing our Svira? And when it comes to Svira Shiva Nikiyim, we don't have a bracha on Svira Shiva Nikiyim. Why doesn't a woman say, Asher Kishon Tosfos Yitzvanu, Al Svira Shiva Nikiyim? Al Sfiras, you may Ziva. How come she doesn't have such a bracha? So Tosa says, because Ichazia afilu b'shvi yisasra. Because she might see Dan at some point, and then it's going to be Sosa al Shiva Nikiyim. So she'll have counted with the bracha day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, and day 5 she sees Dan. It turns out the first 4 days were bracha levatala. So what's the obvious kasha?
Same reason why.
Same as Sfiras Omer, right? As Sfiras Omer also, you miss a day, you'll be out of it. So what's the obvious
answer?
So first of all, most likely, and the way we actually paskin, probably la halacha, each day is an independent mitzvah. And that's why it's one of the big misconceptions about Sfiras Omer, is that people, often think, and it's kedai to, dispel this notion, but people often think, I missed it, now I'm out. Right, and then they're not going to count Sfira anymore. Rov Rishonim, and the way we probably possibly make or I did, is that you're in, and you have a chiyuv to count Sfira. You're just not allowed to say a bracha out of respect to the minority view in Rishonim. So we don't risk the bracha. But of course, it still counts. Fear of Salvation gives that as one of the examples of where we see the power of a birchsa mitzvah. They take a birchsa mitzvah away from a mitzvah, and people all of a sudden ignore the mitzvah. Right? Be'sviras Omer, and he said, be'sukkah and shmini atzeres. That since the Gemara says, Yisuv Yisuvim Bruchelim Varchinan, they don't say, Mesav Yisuvim Bruchelim Varchinan, so you don't say a bracha on sukkah and shmini atzeres. So that's why half the Jewish world stops sitting in sukkah and shmini atzeres entirely. That was his theory as to why it happened. Chassidim have a different theory, many different theories. They don't agree with that theory, because that's very... very unflattering theory that it's all just a big mistake. But anyway, that was Rav Soloveitchik's theory as far as the power of a birchsa mitzvah. So Tosfos bothered by discussion. Tosfos says she could be soser, and unlike Sfiras Omer, so one answer by Sfiras Omer is that really each day is an independent mitzvah. But even if you hold that they're all connected, it's biyado to control whether you'll continue to count or not. Meaning, you may miss a day, but that's your fault. Whereas if a woman sees dam on day 5 of Shemini Akiyam, it's not her fault, unless she missed a pill. You know, but usually it's not her fault. She didn't do anything to cause herself to see dam on that day of Shemini Akiyam, and that's why we're more concerned of the that she's going to be soser. It's not even in her control. Mevor from that Tosfos. Is that there is some sort of svira. The Tosfos is only bothered, why is there no bracha on the svira? But it must be that there's a maisa mitzvah. There's definitely no bracha on any mitzvah that's not involved in maisa, right? We have no bracha on emunah v'Hashem or any other mitzvah that doesn't involve a maisa. A bracha is always done over le asiyasan, because it's always an asiyasa mitzvah that's mechayev the bracha. So it's a maisa mitzvah that's mechayev the bracha. So it sounds like there's some maisa mitzvah of svira, which makes it sound like you're supposed to actually say something. So if you look in Pesachei Tshuva Sivkat and Dalit, a famous shita of the Shloh HaKadosh, so he writes, HaGon HaKadosh Bal Shloh Midaf Kuf Aleph Hitzrich Shebi Yimei Siris HaNikim Timna B'chol Yom Mitomar HaYom Yom. She should say, HaYom Yom Rishon HaYom Yom Sheni. Kiduchsiv v'safalav. He says, it's not me, he says, Shloh HaKadosh Pasuk. Torah says it. Ach, but true, it's not even the Tinyan Chalik Yardes and Kuf Chav Yom Al-Chalik. Now the Yehuda says about the Shloh HaKadosh, it doesn't quote it over here, the Lashon that the Yehuda has, is that the Shloh HaKadosh was such a lover of mitzvahs, that he's an oi mitzvahs lo yispa mitzvahs. That someone who loves mitzvahs is not satisfied with the 613 God gave us, so he created a new one. So that was, and the Yehuda commented about the Shloh HaKadosh. That's a unique way of saying that he strongly disagrees, and that there's no mitzvah to count to pen. Remember the first year Rabbi Yisrael Reisman gave about Tcheles, when he disagreed with Rabbi Shechter and Rabbi Tendler and all the others who supported the Tcheles. At the time, Rabbi Belsky wasn't public yet, so he didn't really disagree with Rabbi Belsky. So he said, I have nothing but the most positive things to say about the people who are behind the Tcheles. I say about them like the Nedim Yudha said, always mitzvos lo yispa mitzvos. They love mitzvos so much that they're hoping for an opportunity for a new mitzvah here, but halavai, it should be true, but it's not true. He then got a little more charif in future shiur because he got annoyed that people get bothering him about it. Ayin b'tshuvas maran bar baruch tufos pride, the simri sab beish, akasav gam kein de'enos oferes, go lami lo omer. It's not like the omer. Well, why not? Why isn't it like the omer? Meaning, it's the same words in the Torah. It's hard to say. What? What do you mean?
Because the
zman
maybe causes her to...
No, definitely the woman has this mitzvah. There's no doubt she has a mitzvah to suffer. The question is, why does she have to do it verbally? Right? So it sounds like the way to do it should be the same. So Sefer Achiruch writes, we don't know. Some, we just have a tradition that some mitzvahs, even though the Torah uses the same word, we have to, you know, Chazim Ayam Adavar, you go see what the minhag is, and that's how we're mesovet, how to fulfill mitzvahs.
Another good thing is Tshuva says that the words are miyusur by Sfirasa Omer, but they're not miyusur by...
Ah, so the Yehuda comes up with the Teretz, good.
Which mitzvah does he write?
I'm sorry?
Which mitzvah?
Where does he say? I think over here. I think by Sfirasa Omer.
Oh, he has a mitzvah.
Oh, there's definitely a mitzvah to count Shivin Nekiyah. The question is, how do you do it? Do you do it verbally, or do you do it just by keeping track? Right? It's definitely a mitzvah. So, so that's the the basic machlok. Yes, our minhag is like from the debut.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there any problem with the woman who decides she wants to hold like the shla and wants to do hayom yom? Like, she's really, spiritual?
The Darkei Tshuva writes, Darkei Tshuva, we'll answer that with this Darkei Tshuva maybe. Darkei Tshuva quotes Simchat Lamed Vav, he quotes the Pesachei Tshuva, the Shlod, and the Yehuda, whether she has to count. And then he says, Uludina, Kasav Behechleit, She'in Tzorach Lisbar Bepev, She'kei Nogin Shalol Lisbar Behedavka, Ela Shetei Mispar Yamim Al Daita, She'er Kola Zayin Yamim Nikim, He points out that the Aguda says like the Shla. And then, I thought he said more. I thought he said you are, though. Maybe not. And he quotes the Chuvus Maria Sad. The comments on the Shla, the Tzrich Lisper Zaynikim Bepe, Avalol Levarech, Mishum Chshash Brach Levatala, Ayin Sham Masha Pilbel, Vahel Yashiv Minagolim Shein Choshim Ledas HaShla, Lisper Zaynikim Bepe Davka. Okay, he tries to be miyashiv. But I thought maybe it's a shayla of you are to do that. I don't know if no one sees you doing it. A woman wants to do that. So if maybe it helps her keep track. I mean, if she's having trouble keeping track of the day, so maybe to actually say it out loud, maybe it will help her keep track. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Anyone see anything that says there's something wrong with it? Come across anything? No. Okay. The more nogel, the maisa element of this. Of this discussion is not so much about how to do the sphere, because the way we do sphere is by keeping track. But what does it mean to keep track? So there is a whole discussion of how important it is to be conscious of the Shivanakiyam while the Shivanakiyam are going on, meaning not to have Asa Hadas. Pisrei Tshuva and Sifkat and Gimel. Ayin Tshuvas Mi'il Tzedaka, famous sheet of the Mi'il Tzedaka. Simon Samach Gimel Shekasa. Vi'isha Shemotza Kasim V'yumei Libuna. Case was as follows: a woman is in the middle of Shiva Nakim, she found a stain. Ula Erev Yitzika B'Tarim Yichadosh, Lav Shoshenis Levanim. So she did a new Hafsik Tarim, she started counting Shiva Nakim again, like she's supposed to, right? Because she didn't know the shtick that you could put in a pad or just tissues and you don't have to worry about it. Va'amr La Chavrosah B'Yom HaMachra, so she was telling all of her friends the next day, and they were advising her, Shagam Alakasim Tzrich La'amtim Mechadosh Heyamim. They said, no, you got to do the 5 and the 7. Which, by the way, you'll find that when you're dealing with Hilchos Nida issues with people, it is a very common confusion. People are not, they don't know when they have to do the 5 and the 7 and when they just have to restart counting 7. A lot of times, the number one question you get, if you have a kesem that's a problem during Shemini Kiyum, or a bedikukla that's a problem during Shemini Kiyum, people always go, so now I got to do the 5 again and the 7? So it's kedai to tell them, if you ever have to be machmir, to tell the people that are asking the shayla, so you do new hafsik, instruct them exactly what to do. New hafsik tara today, and therefore your 7 clean days start tonight. Right, and your lel tvila, just spell it out, rachel bincha katana, because if you do not, you'll very often, or at least sometimes, cause confusion that could cause a woman to not go to the mikvah 5 days later, and by then she might get her next period already, and she's going to not be with her husband, it could be very bad. So her friends told her, this woman's friends told her, her amratzish friends, they told her, they missed that day in seminary, they told her, wait 5 days. V'chazav lav shaksana shalah, so she put on an old stained garment. And then she was telling, her Rebbetzin or her Kala teacher, I can't believe that I have to wait another 5 and 7. And the Kala teacher says, no! Sometimes Kala teachers like, they can't believe, or Chassan teachers can't believe that the student doesn't remember. They don't realize they didn't spend a whole year learning Hilchos Nida like this. It's like in 5 sessions and they're supposed to remember everything. So a lot of times they don't remember. So it's like, no, you're not supposed to do that. Yes, she wore a stained garment, but she knows exactly what the stains were, and it's the same stains. So she knows that no new stains came on her clothing over the last 2 days while she thought she was not in Shiva Nakim. The lower part is still clean. And if she had a new stain, it would have appeared there. So there are a number of issues here. she was two, 3 days into her shiva nikkud. Do those days count? Right, the days that she already started. Habeis. Afim nechshavah sam l'tarvi, im lafshav begadim l'chlachim, im nomer shaksam mehen, heinim yimei nidasa. Is she allowed to assume that the old stains that were there are in fact old stains? The stains that she finds now, that she has now, are the same old stains that she insists they are. Hagimu, afim ein tolin bekach, im nam l'mashi omeris, she makeris osam b'tviyasayin. Right, can we trust her? V'gam v'yosef l'mashi sinu taftonaki. V'helelim savigalim. Once she has considered herself to be Tamea, she can't count those days. Mela, you don't care about the other Sveikas, it's irrelevant. Point is, but if she was not machzik herself as Tamea, then those 2 days will count. Fine. So what the Miltzlach is telling us is an unbelievable thing. Here's a woman, she's a middle Shivan Akim, she didn't have any event that happened that would have ruined the Shivan Akim. She just thought she was not in Shivan Akim anymore. And her thinking that she's not in Shivan Akim is going to be a problem. So you can't be Masiach Das. And the basic idea is twofold. That first of all, the Miltzlach writes, that it may be a lack of Sphira, because Sphira means to consciously be aware of Shiva Nikim, and also Dilmarga Shavalavadaita, meaning during Shiva Nikim she knows she's supposed to be on guard. So if she's supposed to be on guard, she'll be aware of Ahargasha. But when she's not during Shiva Nikim and she thinks it's Yimei Tumah anyway, so she's not going to be aware of Ahargasha, so the Arga Shavalavadaita. And where does the Miltzlach pull this from? Where does he get this chiddush from that it breaks the Shivan Akim? So the basis of the concern was his kasha that someone asked yesterday, I've got who, was why is it when she does a hefsik and then doesn't check until day 8, she's considered to have lost all 7 days and needs to count day 8 as day 1? Why can't she just say day 8 becomes the new day 7 and day 2 becomes the new day 1? So he was bothered by that kasha. So he says it must be that the lack of any attention for 7 days is a chisaron in svira. That her lack of attention to do anything over the 7 day period means that there was no svira that was going on. Whereas if she did a hefsik and then did a svira during those 7 days, then that would count as shiva nikia. So the achronim are not all enamored with this mi'il tzedakah. A number of the achronim, a lot of achronim, have issues with it. The Birkei Yosef, the Chidayin, Ibn Ezer, Simsam of Dalid, the Lechem Simla over here, Simchat Gimel, the Tzemach Tzedek Milabavitch, Yardeas Im Kufnun Heos Tess, and many others. The Marsham, Chil Gimel Sim Kufi Dalid, Onigyantiv Sim Pe Gimel, and many, many others. If you look at Rabbi, I don't have the keys, Taras Habayis and Chilik Beis, Ravadia knows. So the Taras Habayis and Chilik Beis on page Shin Chav Ches, to Shin Lamed Ches, he's got like 10 pages discussing this Mi'il Tzedakah. So there's a lot to say on this Mi'il Tzedakah. So first of all, it's as follows. The main taina against him is a Mishnah Mefereshes and Daf Yud Gimel and Beis. Now what happens if you have a woman who's a Chareshes or a Shota? Can she count Shiva Nikim? Can she have a Shiva Nikim? Can she ever become Tahora if she lacks the Das for Shiva Nikim? So the Mishnah says that Charesh Shodar Nivdikos Alidei Bichos. That you have Nashim Bichos, you have women who are Benos Das, who do the Bidikos for her, who do the counting on her behalf. Even though the obviously the Charesh Shodar is constantly having a Hasek HaDas. Now, a Chareshes may have some level of Das, but a Shota has no Das. And that's the basis of the rejection of the Mi'il Tzedakah, essentially. That's the one Maramakom that they say, you know, that's just against the Mi'il Tzedakah. Rav Vazner says, no, if she's wearing Levanim the entire time, then you can't call it a Hasekah Das. I mean, the whole issue of the Mi'il Tzedakah is she's wearing a stained garment. If she wears a clean white garment, maybe the Mi'il Tzedakah would have been made. Maybe you wouldn't call that a Hasechadas. Now, some issues. First of all, like, really, no Hasechadas? A woman has to have an acute awareness of her Shiva Nikim the entire 7 clean days? Or she takes a nap? or goes to sleep at night. Again, you know, to what extent is her awareness of, what if she's concentrating on something else? She's focused on an exam that she's taking or something at work. So there obviously you have to be magdir this a little bit further. So in the Tshuvas Avnei Tzedek, Simen Pei Vav, he says any amount of time that she's Masiach Das, it's going to ruin it. But Masiach Das doesn't mean that she's not actively aware. It means that if someone were to say to her, are you in Yeshiva Nekiyim? And her answer would be no, then even if that's just for 1 minute during Yeshiva Nekiyim, that would ruin it. She has to at least have a latent awareness of the Yeshiva Nekiyim. Rav Vosner quotes that in Shur Yeshiva Delevi, but he says, no, he thinks like those poskim that say only a full ona of Hesach Hadas is going to ruin it. And in Chut Shani, Rav Kralitz says specifically a daytime ona, that she, if she didn't do Badika and went a whole ona without Hesach Hadas, that would do it if it was a daytime ona. Now, this may depend on the two reasons. Right? If the issue is that it's a lack of Svira, so maybe as long as she didn't go a whole ona without a lack of Svira, so then she was Sofer, she counted that day. But if Indian is that it's Dilma Argisha, so maybe even a shorter amount of time, meaning whatever amount of time that she wasn't focused, you still have the concern of Dilma Argisha. So the Hesach Hadas would still be a concern. In Tshuvas Imre Yosher, Meir Arik, Simon Lamed Beis, holds that it only discounts the days of the Hesach Hadas. Meaning, she counted 2 days, then had Hesach Hadas for 2 days, so where does she pick up from the next day? Does she pick up from day three or start again day one? So he says she picks up from day three. That even going with the meal tztaka, even if you're machna like the meal tztaka, you could just pick up from where you left off. Whereas the Chachma Sadam says, no, she's got to start counting again. There are even some that say she would require a new Hafsik Tara, which is a very big chiddush. Right? To say that she would need a new Hafsik Tara in a second. It goes back to the issue again. If it's a dimin sfira, Sfurim Lefaneinu, so she would only need to pick up the count. Meaning, I'm not worried that she actually became Tamei, she just didn't do a Sfira. So good, so let her pick up on day three. She did a Sfira day one and day two, so let her pick up on day three. But if it's a Chashash, Dilma Argisha, then maybe she had Argasha and therefore there was some Dam, so then you can't pick up on day three. You might have had Dam yesterday, so you have to pick up on day one. And that would also explain why you might need to have Siktara. Because if you're really concerned that there was dam, then you might really need to have siktara. So this became a major issue. Questions before we?
So what's the case that we spoke about, Bidiyavid, if she did a week on the first and seventh day? What's happening there in the interim days?
What's happened there in the interim is she was aware that it was her Shavuot Nekiyim, she just wasn't doing Bidiyavid. That's enough of a series. She was wearing lavan, or maybe not, but she just wasn't doing Bidika. And awareness is enough to be mekayimitz of Sfira.
Hasn't the Elstalka answer for if you did a Bidika on day one and day eight? She knows she's in Shavuot Nekiyim, she just miscounted or whatnot. But she didn't have a Hesach Hadas that she wasn't in Shavuot Nekiyim.
Yeah, so meaning if you say like those we've shown him that it doesn't count, that it's no good?
Yeah. Why
like the Ein Lahakel. Yeah. I don't think it's on account of Hesach Hadas, it's a lack of Sfira. Right? It's a Chisaron in the Bedikos as a Sfira, but not because it's Hesach Hadas. Now, the case I think I told you about, the crazy case that Machon Pua had like 15 years ago, they had a case where a woman went into a coma during her Shiva Nekim. Right? So a woman went into a coma on day two or three of her Shiva Nekim. She was in a coma for 2 days, then she came out on day four or five. And she was ready to jump into the mikvah, after 7 days. She was no problem. So the shaila is that Hesach Hadas and Hesach Nekiyim, right? So they brought this to all the kedarkam. They brought this to all the gedolim, and the taina was as follows: what are the tzad mahakam? The tzad the hachmir is mil tzad, that it's an absolute Hesach Hadas from the Hesach Nekiyim. The tzad mahakam is for, and even if you're machmir like the mil tzadaka, you then have a further machlokas. What does that mean? Does that mean that just those 2 days don't count, or that she has to start all over again? The tztad and lahakel are that it's not really Hesach Hadas. It's just a currently she had a lack of awareness. Yeah. So they sent the shayla to everybody. Yeah, so the Rav Amar sent probably the longest tshuva of everybody, but essentially Rav Amar, Rav Shlomo Amar, the former Rishon LeZion, in the end of the day was makel on this, because this is not a case where a woman was nisya'ish mili taher, and he thought ultimately that's what it's really about. Did she give up any hope of being tahor? And that's not what happened over here. The large majority of poskim that they asked about this shayla were makel on the shayla, although you do find that there were different shittos, meaning Rav Zilberstein, Rav Lior, Rav Nevensal, Rav Amar, Rav Nasha Klein, they were all makel. Rav Usher was a little more reserved. Rav Usher Weiss was a little more reserved in his. I believe that I'll send out the file with all these tshuvas if you're interested. Rav Asher was a little more reserved in how willing he was to be makel. He writes, "Hinei kvar harichu achorim b'divrei amil tzedakah, da'az chadas mevatel shevenekiyim. Ayin pesche tshuvas, sidrei tara, fine. Ulchori isha zu she'ibda hakarasa, yesh ba hazchadas gam." He says, it seems that it's not true as hadas. V'af she'esh kisas ayim zed, amil tzedakah kasab zed shnei taim. He says, if you look at the amil tzedakah, he gives two reasons. Number one, the tzarot svira chiyuvis, velorak yediyas cheshbonayamim, that you need some sort of active svira, and it's not enough to just know how many days it's been. Va'aftein abdikos ma'akvos al biyom rishon shvi'i mikol makom binan sha'ayamim yusfurim la. The bdikos are in ma'akev, but the days need to be counted. And days, second concern, shemeh hirgisha v'lavadaita. So says Rav Asher, ulefi tam rishon vadei shegam biyibra ha'karayish chisar les chadas. If the concern of Eschadas is that she lost Cheshbon, she absolutely lost Cheshbon when she lost all consciousness. But if the concern of Eschadas, Dilma Argashav, Latam Hasheni, Efshar Tekivan Shiv Dakarasa, Lav Bas Hargosha, He Umimele Eina Temeya. What does that mean? That since she's unconscious, she's not a Bas Hargosha, and therefore Umimele Eina Temeya. I don't know what that means. Achniri Yosef. Da'av she'en hi margisha b'poel u'ba'akar ha'mle'a, ha'guv margish. Of course. Right? Meaning he starts by saying, she can't feel anything, she's in a coma, so she can't have a hargasha. Hargasha means feeling. that hargasha means feeling, because a conscious person, when they're having their period, will have a feeling. If she's unconscious, I mean, that would be like saying if you did a, what do they do when women give birth? What's that again? Epidural, right? If you give her an epidural, so she can't become a nida. Just because she's not going to feel the hargasha? No, that's the whole argish of lavadaita. So that's what Rav Asher says eventually, right? So he says, no, near a yoser, that it's going to be a problem even according to that. So if you say like mil tzedakah, says Rav Asher, you really have a problem over here. Amnam yesh min achorim shepik b'ku b'kol yikr dino shel mil tzedakah. He says some people disagree with the mil tzedakah entirely. Chaznish, marsham, and they think when it's a shas atzorich, he could be makel against the mil tzedakah. Then he quotes Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak, she pikpik gam hu b'shitas a mil tzedakah, u'b'shas tzorich odol yishmakom lismo chalani gedolim. So he says, first of all, first sad lahakel is maybe the mil tzedakah is wrong. Maybe we could be some echanos who disagree. But he says, if possible, finish counting the shivanakim and rely on the Imri Yosher. That even within the Shitas of Mil Tzedakah, the Hesach Hadas are not mitzdarif, but they don't destroy the Shemunakim. Aye, this is totally on the two reasons of the Mil Tzedakah, that if you chosh Hashem Hergisha, it's not going to work, right, like we said before. Harik Varkas, Beshut Beishlam, O Piskozuta, Deikar Shitas of Mil Tzedakah, Musasas Altamas Svim. He says, yeah, but the real reason of the Mil Tzedakah, I mean, the Mil Tzedakah gives both reasons. But the primary one is the Svira one. Just a moment. The primary one is the Svira one. And therefore, I'm willing to be Someich on the middle ground Shita, that maybe those days won't count, but you can pick up the count afterwards. And therefore, the Imre Yosher is probably correct about that. And then he says, V'yesham da'af l'shitasu yichol yishol ligmar Svira sashim nekim l'lo ayam me'ele. There are those that say that she could finish her Shavu Nikiyim without these days, and there are those that disagree with the Miltzak entirely. So Tzara Kodu could be Mekel. And Biprati says, the Efshra Deins and Nechshav Kesach Adas Klal, Rak, the Rakishi Yeshtas, the Yisir Begadah HaLevan, Havi Bechal Hesach Adas. He says it could be that Hesach Adas is only for someone who has Das. But there's no Hesach Adas if you don't have Das to begin with. What's the Raya? Hesach Adas is that you're actively being Masiach Das. It's a chisaron in your das, but if a person doesn't have any das, then there's no issue of hezek das. So in the end of the day, Rav Asher says, you know, the af she yef shal hakel al pisvar zubulvad chazi l'tzarufi b'makom tzorach gadol. So he says, if it's b'makom tzorach gadol, you could be making. That was Rav Asher Weiss's take. So he was a little bit more reserved. Similarly, Rabbi Reisman, Rabbi Saul Reisman, Rav Shiva Tov Das, also. Says that it's, he also has a little bit of a unique take. He says, L'chara, this is totally on the Din Shota, which is Paschal and Shota, it's not only Mishnah Yud Gimel, it's Paschal and Shulchan Aruch and Sitches. That a Shota, Oshinut, Fadait, Amachmas, Chalit, Srichos, Pikachos, Livdokosan. So he said, what does the Pikeach do? What does the Pikachach do? What does that accomplish to have a woman who's a Bas Das doing the Bedikos for her? So he said you can understand this in two ways. Number one, Odubai Minyan Zayin Nikiyim B'li Yaschadas V'rak Da'afilu Mansa Pikacha Savura Olala. You need Shiva Nikiyim without Yaschadas and the Pikach could do that for him. Inami Yeshlam, right? The Shodin Tzvich Minyan Shiva Nikiyim L'daita U'psol Yaschadas V'rak Mishi Yeshladas. Or maybe like Rav Asher Weiss said that there's no psol Yaschadas for someone who doesn't have Das. He says maybe you need because just for the din bedika, but not because of a din svira, not because there's any chisaron in the svira that it's any yaschadas. And he quotes the yisodus tikkutshuva the Beis Shlomo, and he's kaveh like the first side that even a shota requires shiva nekiyim. It's just that a pikachas can accomplish the Shiva Nikiyim. Just like you have in Maseches Chulin, Lamed Aleph and Beis, Kavana de Chaverta, Kavana Ma'al Yisahim. Therefore, he says, this woman is in a coma, let's say on day three of her Shiva Nikiyim. So day three, if she went into a coma on day three already counted. He said he's willing to rely on that. Because she already had some das during day three. And remember, we had that whole machlokas, how long do you have to be out? For it to, and if she comes out of the coma on day four, so then the sofa yom of day four is going to count. But he says, if she missed more than that, then you have a problem. Then you need someone else to count for her. And he says, v'nira, desagi bazeh mashabai lamana hayom ki yom in anakim. It could be that that's enough that the husband was aware of it. V'gam v'shulchan aruch nokat pikachas, hanim shum shum dubar bofen d'bay bedika. Says Rabbi Reisman, very interesting chiluk. Meaning, a woman goes into a coma. So the first thing the husband's thinking, they're not appointing a nurse to do bedikos, right? The woman's in a coma. They're not appointing a nurse to do bedikos. The husband was aware that she was in the middle of her Shiva Nikiyim. So the husband's awareness, that counts. But the Shulchan Aruch says you needed pikachas. Tibi Bodik says, yeah, that's because you needed the bedikos. Why did you need the bedikos? He said, because otherwise you needed someone to check that she wasn't bleeding. But benito didan, that she did all the bedikos that are ma'akev, she did day one and day seven, and that's ma'akev. So therefore, that's good enough. She did. You didn't need pikachas to do it. She did the bedikos. And the awareness could be provided by someone else as a bar das. And then he says at the end, and even if you do want to be machmir about this, at least you should be making like those sheetos that you can pick up the count from where you left off. That's how Rabbi Reisman suggested. However, not everyone was making. Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt was machmir to restart, which is pretty astonishing. So that's one example, an unusual example. Question, Gabe?
I just want to ask, which I guess she this can't be worse than the case of a shaita where we say it's that or someone else becomes worse.
Right. So that's what they're, you know, that's the issue that Rav Eisen was sort of dining on, right? Another example. What happens if Rav Sturmbach has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph, Simon Tavkuv Zayin? A woman decided she got into a fight with her husband. So she's like, that's it, I'm not going to the mikvah, I don't need this. And then she changed her mind and said, okay, I'm going to go. So she reacted emotionally. So that could be a problem. Right? According to the Miltzdak, that's an application of the Miltzdak. She was Mesiach Das from counting the Shiv Nekiim. So I think Kala teachers actually teach this, that no matter what happens, first of all, they say, as they should, don't use mikveh as a weapon, you know, in the machlokas. Second of all, you may regret it. The Chacham HaSadim, called Kuf Yud Zayin Siv Katan Yud Beis, talks about a husband who planned on leaving town and traveling, and then he changed his plans. So the woman thought, well, do I have to bother counting Shiv Nekiim now? I'll count Shiv Nekiim while he's away, and I'll have plenty of time to go to the mikveh. It's another application of this halacha. Rav Moshe, yeah?
Just in the Sturmbach's case, she's aware she's in the Shiva Nekim. She just doesn't plan on going to the mikvah once they're over. No?
So, meaning the case is, she doesn't want to count the Shiva Nekim anymore. She's not interested. Meaning, I hear. Meaning, if you're going to say that she is counting the Shiva Nekim, she's just, you know, not planning on going to the mikvah. But, right. Or maybe she's saying, that's it, I'm done with this. But maybe see what else she did. Did she put on Begadim Sivonim? Right? Did she start acting like she's not in the Shiva Nekiim? Rav Moshe in Yodeh. I think he was Machmir, but someone take a look and let me know. I think he was Machmir. Rav Moshe in Yodeh Chil Vesim and Ayin Tes writes that a woman shouldn't take the Hafsik Tara cloth and just leave it in there as the Mokhtach. Why? So he says, if you haven't seen it yet, after the Hafsik Tara, before the Shiva Nekiim started, then you're not conscious of the Shiva Nekiim because you don't know that you could start the Shiva Nekiim. So even though it's perfectly clean, I mean, a woman takes a cloth, does a bedikah b'chorin v'stakin, and instead of taking another cloth and sticking it in there as the mochdach, she just leaves that one in there. She never pulls it out. Just leaves it in there and allows it to be mochdach. And then she pulls it out after tzeis chavim, and it's totally clean. So Rosh says you could have a problem with hazchadas because you never had full awareness that you were allowed to start the Shiva Nekiim. If you don't hold in the Miltzdaka, maybe that's not a problem. You know, as long as you know there was no dam, and you know that there was no dam, it still may not be a great idea. May not be a great idea for a very practical reason. Right? Why is it not a great idea? Because a woman's going to take a bedik cloth and do a hafsik tara, and let's say it comes out with dam on it, she could still try again as long as it's before shkia. But this woman's taking away the opportunity to try again. Because she's just, whatever it is, you know, let it be the Ratzon Hashem, whatever it is, and just leave it in there. So that's not such a great idea. So what happens if she has it, most commonly, a woman, and this happens a lot of times with young kavas, or not that the young kavas. You have a lot of people, I'm finding now, I mean, I always found that a lot of people have been married for 7 years, 10 years, 15 years. And just all of a sudden their body is acting differently than it did before. So there are women that never saw a stain in anything. Kihuzeh, mamish, nothing. And just the other night, I got a shayla from someone who's been married for over 20 years. And I was looking at the shayla, I couldn't find the shayla. Like, I couldn't even see what they were referring to. Elamai, she was mamish, clean as whistle for 20 years. Never had anything. So she had no idea what it was. So imagine someone like that sees like a massive brown stain. So what's she going to automatically assume? Oh, this is horrible. This is like worse than my period. Right? This is awful. So that's the most common issue, is that the woman, the husband comes home, the woman says, bad news, it was ugly. I mean, we're going to have to start counting Shiva Nekiim again. And the husband says, can I see? And she shows him the baguette, and he looks and he's like, I don't know. Doesn't look red to me. And he brings it to a Rav, and the Rav paskens that it's totally fine. But that entire day, she was convinced that her Shiva Nekiim were over. So we always recommend she should be cautiously optimistic and keep two simultaneous counts. Meaning, count her Shiva Nekiim and also count that, do a Hafsik Tara. The husband's gone for 2 days and he doesn't come back until 2 days later. Start a new Shiva Nekiim also. Right? So there's a Tshuvas Dvar Avram, Rabbi Salovsky points out this Diyun, there's a Tshuvas Dvar Avram, Chelek Aleph, Siman Lamed Daled, who famously suggests that counting two simultaneous counts is a chisaron in sfira. Because sfira doesn't just mean saying random numbers. Sfira means that you're counting with a certain level of certainty. Right? That's how Rav Soloveitchik understood similarly how skipping a day of sfira is problematic. Not that each day is dependent on the other day. It's not a sfira anymore. When you say 1, 2, 4, you're not counting, you're just reciting numbers. And the mitzvah is sfira. Sfira means that you say the numbers in sequence. So if you're just saying today is 2, 6, right? So then it's not 2, it's not 6. So Dvar Avraham at least has a hava minute to suggest like that. Two issues with that. First of all, the Dvar Avraham retracts that based on Balamar. Balamar says the reason we don't count Sveka Diyom and Sfira is because it would be a bizayin to the Yantav of Shavuos. That on the Yantav of Shavuos, if you counted a Sveka Diyom, so what would happen? That on the first night of Shavuos, you're still counting 49. So that's a bizayin. That's like making a bracha on Sukkah and Shemini Atzeres. Like the Gemara says explicitly, you don't do that because that's a bizayin to the Yantav of Shemini Atzeres. And how could it be? It's not, it can't be Shemini Atzeres and Sukkahs. So why does Balamar say that it's a zilzal for the Yom Tov of Shavuos? Why not say you just can't do it? You can't keep a double count. Elamai, a double count can count. It can be a count also. So Dvar Avraham ultimately rejects the famous sheet of the Dvar Avraham. It's just like everyone knows it's the famous sheet of the Dvar Avraham, but ultimately he rejects it himself. And secondly, Rabbi Soloveitchik does not point this out, but it's not clear that Sfiras Omer is the same as Shavuos Nekiyah. One could be mechalek, no? When it comes to Sfiras Omer, the entire Klal Yisrael is in on the same count. To call it two different nights is an inherent contradiction. When it comes to a woman's personal count, any day could be whichever day. Meaning, there's no necessarily right or wrong. So it's not an inherent stira. You know, let's say it a little differently. The function of Sfiras Omer is to be koveh the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So you're going to be like kind of kaveh. Zayin Nekiyim is to make sure she was clean. The sphere of Nekiyim is to make sure that she was clean. So it's an entirely different sphere. Similar to what we're talking about, even the way that we do the sphere is entirely different. Now this all assumes not like the Rebbe's sheet of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's sheet and sphere of Omer, right? That it doesn't have to be all Klal Yisrael in the same thing. I mentioned that to you guys once. Right, so, but assuming like most other poskim, right, that all the Klal Yisrael Zil and Sfiras Omer at the same time, I don't know that it's the same thing as Shiva Nekiyah. I don't know that we would have to say it's the same thing. So at the end of the day, we still tell a woman she should be cautiously optimistic, and it's okay that if she keeps two counts, if the husband's away for 3 days, if she doesn't have access to ask a shayla for a few days, or whatever. So then we can maintain two simultaneous counts. Okay, what we still need to do is Be'ez Hashem on Wednesday, Taliya during the first 3 days of Shavuot Nekiyah, B'dikos during the daytime as opposed to nighttime. What are B'dikos supposed to look like? B'dikos Karen is stuck in, or how are B'dikos supposed to be done? And more. Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with that on Wednesday. And tomorrow, Rabbi Tzvika Reisman, 11 o'clock. So stay tuned for details, and everyone is encouraged to attend. Okay.